Hey, this is Michelle, and you're listening to Words with Michelle, the podcast, a show where I sit down and have conversations with influencers on a range of topics, anything from natural hair, employment, discrimination, food, relationships, and everything in between. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. If you want to send me an email, hit me up at michelle@wordsmichelle.com. Thanks for tuning into the latest episode of Words with Michelle, the podcast. This is the very first show for 2024. Thanks for continuing to listen and support the show. I appreciate you. So today's show is on dating, and the focus is on having healthy and successful long-term relationships. I speak with relationship expert Nicole Melissa. You might remember her from a couple of my past shows. I first met Nicole on my Dating in the Age of COVID back in 2020. And I know you remember her from last year's show on Cuffing Season. If you haven't heard those shows, I recommend that you go back and take a listen. Because I had so much fun with Nicole on the past shows, I really wanted to showcase her expertise again. I love talking about anything to do with dating, so I thought to reach out. In this show, Nicole speaks about having a personal code of ethics when dating. She's created a workbook that acts as a guide to help you understand yourself and your wants. And lastly, she describes the characteristics that the right person for you possesses and what a healthy relationship really looks like. So if you're considering getting back into the dating game or looking for that special someone, or if you're in a relationship and you need some information on how to keep it successful, take a listen to the show. So I start off asking Nicole to tell us a bit about her. Thanks for being on the show again, Nicole.
It's nice joining you guys again. I am a matchmaker and relationship consultant, and I own a company called the Ardency Group. And under the Ardency Group is Ardency Matchmaking, Ardency Academy and Matchmaking, and my personal brand. I am Nicole Melissa. So that's what I do. And I also have a love ministry. Mm-hmm. So essentially, what a love ministry is just, I'm fortunate enough to be able to share with people the gospel of love. I always say that God is the original G when it comes to matchmaking. He's the original matchmaker. So I'll tell you a quick little, I'll share with you why I say God is the original matchmaker. And why relationships are super important to him. And especially right now in this time, this day and age, because people treat relationships very flippantly, right? Mm-hmm. So in the Bible, for any of you biblical people, in the Bible, when God created, you know, heaven and earth and the stars, the galaxy, the ocean. He told the ocean line where the shore would be and where the water couldn't recede past this point. All of that he did for us, right? So that when he created man, because he knew he was going to create man, that we would have all of this and we'd have dominion over all of these things. And after God created all of those things, he felt like it was good. He was like, yeah, like, okay, all right, I created the stars. All right, that looks nice. Okay, the ocean's going to stay there. Okay, that looks beautiful. Okay, yeah. Okay, getting everything set for Adam. He's going to be good. And then he created Adam. And then he was like, not good. It's literally the first time that he said something wasn't good. And he said it wasn't good because he was on his own. And God does not want us to be on our own. He said it's not good for man to be alone. So he created him a helpmate, aka Eve, aka a woman, right? So God is, relationships matter to God. And so I feel really privileged that he sees, he's chosen me to do this, to really help people find their kingdom husbands and wives, their kingdom spouses, sorry.
Cool. Actually, I'm definitely going to pick up on that. Because you said it's not good to be alone, or God doesn't want you to be alone. That's interesting.
No, he doesn't.
Why do you say that?
He wants you to have companionship. He created us to have companionship, even to have companionship with him, right? Mm-hmm. That's like what he created us for, so that we would worship him. because you're going to worship something, whether people want to realize, whether you believe in God or not, you worship something because you're a human being and you're created to worship. So whether that be you worship, I don't know, the gym, whether it be you worship, you know, your friendships, whatever it is, you're going to worship something in a sense, meaning you're going to idolize something. Something's going to take precedence and priority in your life, right? But God created us so that he would be that person for us. So human beings are meant to worship. So he doesn't want you to, he wants you to be in companionship, ideally with him first and foremost, but then with each other.
So today's topic is about looking for love, looking for a long-term relationship, which is completely different to what we spoke about like about a year ago, the cuffing season.
Yeah.
End of the spectrum. I know that you're versed in all aspects of love. So I wanted to ask I see that you mentioned personal code of ethics. If you can just give us some idea of what that is when you're looking for love, what exactly is that?
Your personal code of ethics. Your personal code of ethics is basically, it represents who you are, right? Mm-hmm. I call it like your modus operandi. Like it's how you're going to conduct yourself in and out of relationships. It's what's going to help, it's what's going to set you apart. Right? How you're gonna move. Ideally, what your PICO is gonna do for you is make it easier for you to do what's right for yourself and others. Right? Because if you're paying attention to what you need to thrive and what, you know, and also like what it takes for you to not thrive. Once you understand all those things, you're gonna do what it takes. You know, do all the you're gonna make better decisions for yourself when it comes to who you partner with. Right?
So give me,
and then it also.
Mm-hmm. Sorry,
go ahead.
I just want to ask give me an example of a personal code of ethic. Like, what do you mean? Is it more my beliefs, my ideologies?
Yeah, so it is. It's really your virtues and your values, right? That you kind of put together to create your personal code of ethics. Like what you represent in yourself, you will represent in your relationships, right? So. So you would say like, I represent, peace. I represent empathy. I'm nurturing and caring. I'm trustworthy. I'm fair. I'm honest. I'm things of that nature. Those are like virtues and values and characteristics and attributes that you bring to yourself. Therefore you can bring to a relationship.
So just tell me a bit about why did you create the workbook and who's it for?
Yeah, so I created the workbook because, okay, so I'm going to go back a little bit. So I'm going to try to make a long story short. Like I said, I'm a matchmaker and relationship consultant. I've been doing so for over 2 decades. And when I decided to go out off on my own, I wanted to know how to effectively help people meet their match, right? Because what I noticed was that people think they got this, but they don't. You know what I'm saying? And then they're easily frustrated, right? So mm-hmm. I first wanted to take a look at the have not. So I kind of just went over my history with helping people and was looking at like the have nots. Like why aren't you successful? You know? And then in looking at that, it caused me to then go back and look at the haves, those who did find what they were looking for, those who their journey was much smoother. And I wanted to see what the difference was between them. And it really boiled down to a personal code of ethics, right? It boiled down to people that were the haves were confident, the haves were less insecure. The haves knew who they were and what they represented and what they could bring to the table. Do you know what I mean? And they were confident about that. And so therefore they were also, they went into every dating situation curious and like open-minded, genuinely, you know what I mean? Because there wasn't this pressure on their shoulders. They didn't put it on themselves because they were confident. So I was like, okay. So then I was able to go back to the have nots and be like, that's where it is. They were missing their personal code of ethics that made the weight. I think people don't understand that patience is not punishment, it's power, right? So when you are, if you feel like you're being forced to wait for something, it comes with a negative connotation. So it's like you're going to be frustrated. Those are the people that would always, I would always get feedback on them that was, you know, not so good. And they're also the ones that would have people say things like they were self-centered and they spoke negatively about their exes and about their dating process. And they were just, unfortunately, they were miserable because they were growing impatient. However, if they had had a personal code of ethics, that patience would have been power for them. They wouldn't be looking at it like I'm waiting around. They'd be looking at it like I'm doing stuff, I'm working on myself, and I'm waiting for the right person to appear, because they will, because it literally is the law of attraction.
So so it sounds like a mindset, right? It sounds like
it's 100% a mindset. It's about who you are as a person. It's about who you are as a person. You're attracting. As a person, you're going to attract who you are, right? And not necessarily, because you could say that you're all of these things, but are you really? And your life is going to show you. I always say, like, look at your friend group. Look at your friend group. They'll tell you who you are, who you really are. Look at your past relationships. What do they all have in common? Because I guarantee you they have some things in common. Especially the ones that didn't work out, like clearly, right? You have to look at those things. But once you understand yourself as a person, then you're going to make better decisions for yourself. Once you have a personal code of ethics, the way you move is going to be different when you're looking for the right partner, right? So, like, I think that it probably also is worth it to explain like what the right partner is. Like, what do I mean when I even say that? Because none of anything I say in this and on this podcast or anywhere else you hear me talking or anything that you read me say, like anything I write, I'm always talking about relationships, of course. However, none of this will be applicable to you if you haven't chosen the right person, right? So that's important for you to understand. It will just be in vain. You'll be like, why isn't it working? Well, because it's not the right person for you. So let's discuss what is the right person right quick.
Yeah, actually, that's
the right person. Get into that. Yeah, the right person is a willing participant who has all the essential characteristics and criteria necessary to build a healthy relationship. Okay, so now let's underline some words here because they're important for you and important for people to understand. Underline willing participant. Because this person has to want to be with you, right? This is not a situation where, because there's people out here who are in relationships and that person they're with could really be anybody. They just don't want to be alone, right?
Yeah.
And so that means that you're going to accept all kinds of stuff. You're probably, it's whatever for you. And you're going to try to make something work with someone that is not for you because you don't want to be alone. So you need to make sure that you're picking somebody that wants to be with you. There's things about you in particular that they really like and love about you. Not just you, could be anybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So underline willing participant. Underline criteria and characteristics, right? Underline that, because that's your attributes. That's your virtues and values, all of those things need to be aligned. Because if they're not aligned, it's not going to work. You're going to be trying in vain and it's not going to get anywhere. Those are the situations in where you'll hear of, things changed for a couple of months and then they went back. Yeah, they went back because that's not a person you're equally yoked with. So you're trying to make something work that is not meant to work for you. Right? I always say this, that relationships they take work, but hard work it should only be situational. So when I hear people say like relationships are hard work, it's like, daggone it. If you are having a hard time, if you wake up in the morning and shit is hard right off rip, That is not a good relationship. That's not a healthy relationship. That's true. Not the right person for you. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Hard work is situational. Now, sometimes those situations can last a long time. Sure. But they will get back on track if it's the right person. Because why? Go back to the first thing I said. It's a willing participant.
Yeah.
So they're going to do what needs to be done. Right. They're going to want to participate in the health of your relationship. And the last thing that I want to point out and underline is build. Right. Necessary to build a healthy relationship. Relationships, healthy relationships in particular. And I'll explain healthy in a second. But build is because you have to build a healthy relationship. A relationship doesn't just come to you. You don't, two people just don't come together and then, okay, we're in a relationship and everything's like, okay, great. No, like there's work. You have to create a foundation, right? And that foundation needs to consist of the things that you know, the things that you guys already know, but take for granted or ignore. Trust. You have to build trust. And now people will say to me, how do you build trust? The only feasible way to build trust is to give it out. You have to trust somebody in order to build trust. That means you have to be vulnerable in some way in order for you to build trust. So you cannot be in a relationship with someone that doesn't want to be vulnerable in any way. Or they're picky and choosy about how much vulnerability they're going to give you. How are you going to be married to somebody that's picky and choosy about being vulnerable with you? Right?
Yeah.
Listen, at the end of the day, it's a risk. It's a risk. I think it's a risk worth taking. Of course, I'm going to say that, right? Love and relationships are a risk worth taking because the benefits far outweigh any of the cons. The pros far outweigh any of the cons. And I think everybody can agree to that. But it is, you know, could somebody end up breaking your heart? For sure. That's a possibility. And hopefully what you'll do is you'll live and you'll learn. And hopefully you'll become wiser. And next time, and even better, hopefully you'll do a daggone pico so you won't let that happen to yourself again. Yeah. So that's what, in order to, now let's talk about what a healthy relationship is, right? So I think people think of healthy relationship and think that everything is good all the time. Mm-hmm. And that couldn't be further from the truth. A healthy relationship is going to consist of arguments, disagreements, fights, blowouts, all of those things that are actually mandatory in order for it to be considered healthy. That's the only real way for you to,
But why do you say mandatory? Sorry? Mandatory is like a strong word. Why do you say mandatory?
Because how else will you build confidence in your relationship? Think about it. How else are you going to build confidence in your relationship? If you never argue, never fight, first and foremost, mm-hmm. I had a client once that he never argued or fought with his girlfriend. Like everything was perfect. And he just didn't understand. Like all of a sudden she was up and out one day.
Wow.
And it's like, yeah, because somebody wasn't being real. You're not being authentic. I promise you, y'all aren't being authentic at all.
Yeah.
If you never argue and fight, you're a yes, ma'am, and yes, sir.
Okay, that's true.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Like, no, you're not being yourself. And that could be because maybe it's going back to, you know, that codependency thing or not wanting to be alone. So you'll just do whatever, accept whatever. But after at some point, your soul is just not going to accept it. And then, yeah, you're going to be out. And then that other person is going to be left like, what the hell just happened? Right? Well, because neither of you are being real. And what is a relationship if it's not like, you don't want to be in a relationship with someone that is not real. Right?
Yeah.
So that's something that you want to consider. So relationships require disagreement. They require conflict. That is how you're going to build your confidence in your relationship. That's how you're going to learn each other. That's how you're going to learn to get over the bridge to the other side. There has to be something there. I created the workbook because I wanted to be able to effectively really help and impact people. And I realized when I did the homework of the haves and the have not, what the difference was. And I decided when I created this company, that the academy part of the company would be all of the necessary work. Like, if you follow me on any of my social media, I am Nicole Melissa. One of my taglines, one of my three taglines that you'll always see me say is, do the work, trust the process, my loves, and love you mean it. Okay. Doing the work is a part of the academy. The academy is all the doing the work that is teaching you about my three tenets, the three pillars of relationship. All of the academy is always going to be surrounded by the three pillars of a relationship, which are emotional intelligence, conflict resolution and management, and learning the difference between the two, and intimacy. You need to, if you can master these, even better. But even if you don't master them and just get familiar with them and start to learn them and practice them daily, you're going to be in a far better situation than anyone else. You're going to have a relationship that actually feels satisfying instead of a relationship that is, you know, quote unquote, hard, right? Mm-hmm. You want a relationship that takes work, and doing the work is learning about yourself. That's doing the work. Once you're doing the work, you're learning about yourself. And like I said, why it's about learning who you are, how you operate, how you thrive, how you do not thrive, and the things that make you happy and the things that you know trigger you, and learning how to offset them, and just understanding yourself entirely as a whole, and then learning to love yourself unconditionally. Because once you do that, then you're going to be able to offer grace to your partner. And every relationship requires grace. And until you see that you need it, once you realize how much you need it, then you're going to be more willing to offer it to your partner, right? And then you'll be able to really thrive that way, or at least learn to begin to.
Do you think that childhood traumas play a role in how we look for and accept love?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, you want to think of it this way. Childhood trauma is how you're going to see yourself. It impacts how you see yourself and how others view you. You know what I'm saying? So you want to definitely be mindful of your childhood traumas. You want to be looking at that. It's a part of doing the work. You know, I'm going to say this. You're going to hear this 1,000 times in this conversation, or any conversation you hear me having with anybody. I'm always going to be telling you that you need to be doing the work. Healthy relationships take work. And if you want to be in a relationship that feels satisfying and is considered healthy, then you want to take a look at all aspects of yourself. And yourself starts from when you were a child. Why do you think the way you think? Why do you see things the way you see them? How do you feel about yourself? Why do you feel that way about yourself? Who told you that? You know, whose opinion is that? Is that really your opinion? Or is that a narrative that you grew up around, so you figure that's your truth? But is that your truth? These are questions that you want to ask yourself. And all of that, everybody has trauma. Mm-hmm. Everybody has trauma. There's no way. Listen, you could have somebody that grew up with a silver spoon in their mouth, okay? And they could still, they'll have trauma. Just the same as the person who grew up with nothing. Everybody's going to have trauma in their life. And so it's really important to figure out how it's affecting you and your relationships.
So then, do you think that you have to deal with the trauma in order to be able to accept love, or?
No, well, it depends. It depends on what your trauma is, right? Ideally, do you want to deal with it? Sure. Is there some trauma that you're able to deal with on your own? Sure. But is there some trauma that you might need a therapist for? Definitely. Right. It depends. Mm-hmm. We're talking like trauma, like abandonment issues or something like that. Okay. Yeah. You could see a therapist for that, but that is also something you could work out, on your own. You know what I mean? Or you could, you know, it doesn't necessarily require a therapist, although I'm a huge advocate for therapy. Mm-hmm. I think people should do that. However, there are some things, some trauma that you can work out on your own, right? And then there's trauma that you just is going to require more, like, say, sexual abuse. That's going to be a deeper rooted issue, right? That you probably need to work it out with a professional. But yeah, I think, do you have to deal with your trauma? No, you don't have to do anything. But if you want to be successful, you're going to want to do the work. You're going to want to do everything that's required of you. So that, and you're not doing it for any other reason other than you want what's best for yourself. Other than you want a relationship that feels good and satisfying. That doesn't mean it's perfect, but it feels good and satisfying the majority of the time. And you have to do the work to, in order to get to that point, right? So you're going to want to do whatever it takes to do that. So no, do you have to deal with the trauma? No, you don't have to. You don't have to. But would I recommend that you do? Sure, I think you should.
Getting back to looking like for long-term relationships, and we're talking about our intentions, right? Just because we are looking for long-term, we want like good relationships, right? Not just kind of like dating here, there, and there. So I remember reading in your book about talk about your intentions. Do you need to speak about your intentions of a long-term relationship or a relationship? Can this be done on a first date? Like, do you think that is something that should be done?
Here's the thing about me, babe. I don't do all these rules. There's all of these little rules like, oh, you can't do this and you got to wait 30 days for that. And you can't say this on the first date. Listen, the reality is the person that is for you, there's not going to be too much that you can do to turn them off. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the best way to ensure that you are connecting with people that are like-minded is to do the work on yourself, is to do a PICO. Now, even if you don't want to do a PICO and you say you want to just do it on your own in another way, that's fine too, but do it. Because if you come into any situation whole and worthy and deemed worthy, then you're going to be able to have conversations with people on first dates of all sorts. And you're going to get to be authentically you. And you're going to be accepted for yourself. Do you know what I'm saying? So like, can you have that conversation on a first date about your intentions? For sure. For sure. And should you? Yes. I think that you should. Because there's nothing worse than having two completely separate intentions for a thing.
That's true.
I think that you should also know kind of in advance, and I guess it depends on how you've met this person. If you've like, say you met online, or even if you've met in person or something at Starbucks or whatever. Mm-hmm. Prior to that first meeting, you know, I always call the first meeting like your prelim. It's not really a date. Your first meeting should just really be just 30 minutes. Coffee, one glass of wine, or whatever, tea, whatever. 30
minutes?
You know what I mean? Yeah, don't let it be anything too dramatic. You don't have to go into it having it be anything too dramatic, because it's just you're just wanting to see what the energy is, what the vibe is between two people.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You want to see the vibe. And then after that, he needs to plan a date. Right? That's something that's going to be a little bit more elaborate
Did you say he?
He.
Why did you say he?
He should plan the date.
The guy?
You know, a part of the problem, listen, I have a love ministry and I'm here to help people meet their kingdom spouse. Okay? The problem I think we have right now is that there's a lot of masculine women that are doing, and I think it's like this whole, I'm woman, hear me roar, which is cute. And like, there's nothing wrong with that. However, you are not the hunter. And for you to act like the lion, it doesn't serve you in the end. He needs to step up. He needs to be the leader. You're going to both have your times to lead in a relationship, but to start it off, he needs to be in position. He needs to be leading. He needs to be making the decisions. And then you should be in a position where you feel safe enough to follow his lead. but he has to show you that. But if you're taking the lead from the beginning, from the very beginning, you're the one making all the plans. From the very beginning, you're the one doing all this and you're the one doing all that. You're not giving him any room to be the man in this relationship. And I guarantee you, because I speak to y'all all the time, I guarantee you later on, when he's the femme and you're the masculine, you're going to be pissed. You're going to be like, oh, he doesn't do this and he doesn't do that. Yeah, because you did. Because you decided to put on the pants and never take them off. It doesn't serve you to do that. It serves you to, and if you notice that a man is not taking the lead, let that be a red flag. Let that be a red flag. A man knows to work. He's literally built to work. And when you take away his position of the work that he needs to do, you're going to have you a feminine, soft man that you don't want in the end. It sounds so cute in the beginning, but in the end, it doesn't work. It doesn't serve you.
So do you agree or disagree with what Nicole just said about men taking the lead in dates? Let me know. You can email me at michelle@wordswithmichelle.com. So that conversation kind of morphs or evolves into another conversation where Nicole shares that men don't like to share their feelings in relationships. Take a listen.
That's why men always, you hear men say this all the time, like nobody cares about how they feel and da 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 da. This is literally something that's, it's naturally in them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, so you could, there's so many women that are like, no, it matters to us how you feel. Definitely share with us how you feel. Would you say that any boyfriend that you've had, that it mattered to you how he was feeling?
Of course it does.
Of course it does. But well, guess what, how he feels.
Yeah,
exactly. But if you ask him and he's talking to his boys, yeah, no, that's not real to them. A vast majority of men's, like man's man, that's not real to them. They don't really feel heard that way, or they feel, or they don't really genuinely feel like how they feel matters.
I don't know. I'm going to have to challenge you on that. I feel like there's a different movement now. I feel like that's maybe men of a certain age or whatever. And I feel like there's a new movement with men. I think men are more in touch with, and not saying all men, because I mean, I know men that are.
Yeah, yes, I know what you're probably referring to. You're probably referring to, the Gen Z type man, or
even the millennial. Because I'm thinking about, like, actually when you were talking, you just made me think of this guy I actually interviewed for one of my shows, and he just immediately made me think of him. His name is Brandon Hay, and he has the Black Daddies group, and I just thought about him, and like the movement that he's doing. Like, he's more emotional, more sensitive, and willing to give space to men that want to be more emotional and sensitive and talk about their feelings. I mean, I like that, because I feel like we're all humans. We all have we're all sensitive. Things affect us, right?
Yeah.
100%, so when you said that, I just kind of immediately thought of him, and I just kind of like the movement that he has going on with his group, because I want a guy to tell me something if he's feeling upset. I actually like that. I actually feel closer to a guy if he tells me what is on his mind. If he's upset, I know guys have that exterior to be tough, whatever, and I understand that, but it's the moments when they can be real and say this, you know, and it could be like an offhand, just comment saying, whatever, this happened in my day. I love that, because then I know what's going on in your head. You know what I mean? Sometimes I want to know what's going on in your head. So for me,
no, 100%.
I really like that.
However, honey, I feel you. I get you 100%, but I'm just sharing with you the reality of it. So I hear what you're saying, but the truth of the matter is, if your man was constantly in tears on your shoulder, you right now you're saying that wouldn't be a problem for you, but for most women it would become a problem. You know what I'm saying? So like, I completely understand what you're saying, and yes, there is the movement, the Black therapists that are out there, which I know Brandon, and I think he's amazing. And he's so needed in the space. However, just through doing my constructive conversations focus groups, where I speak to men, Mm-hmm. And we have some real, intimate, authentic, real conversations mm-hmm. where they're saying it like it is, a mm-hmm. vast majority of them don't feel like they can be vulnerable with women.
Oh,
they just don't.
I get it.
They just don't. So you could say, because what happens when I posed your argument that you were just sharing right now, mm-hmm. and they were like, yeah, that's fine today. And then what if I'm feeling bad again tomorrow? What if I'm feeling bad again the next day? What if I'm feeling bad again? I can't keep coming to you because guess what? At some point, you're not going to respect me anymore.
But wouldn't that be, okay, so if a girlfriend told me that, like if a friend told me that she's feeling bad today, isn't it the same thing though? Wouldn't you say that, like, wouldn't you be like, okay, I heard this the day before or whatever. But I mean, I'm still supportive. Yeah.
No, I 100% think it would be the exact same thing. I think it also works in reverse as well. I think it also would work if a lady was constantly, you know, depressed and sad with her man, constantly telling him, like, you know what I mean? I think that the same would apply.
Yeah.
But the reality is, but anyway, so what I'm saying basically is, although I understand what you're saying, they don't feel that way. Mm. They don't feel that way. Okay. They don't feel safe enough. So, and it takes a certain type of man as well to seek therapy, right? Yeah. So that's why the Brandons are so important. But there's something about that man's man that is just, he's going to want to just suck it up. He just wants to just suck it up. He'll say a little here and there, but overall, he's not comfortable to continuously share what's going on in his heart and mind. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
However, that being said, I think that when you do meet the right person and you've done some work on yourself, both men and women, that there, when you meet the right person, you are going to be more comfortable to share. You're going to start to become more comfortable to share. That I've recognized when I deal with couples that have been together for some time, just even through research, I notice that they still have their hesitation, their reservations, still a little hesitant, but they will still speak. But it's a process. It takes time for them to get to that point. Yeah. It's a process.
As we approach the end of the show, Nicole shared with me how she's used her personal code of ethics in dating.
So when I started doing the work, I noticed that the caliber of men that I was attracting changed dramatically versus the type of men that I was attracting when I wasn't as well as I am now. It's literally night and day. And that's 100% because of me. It's not them. It is me. Mm-hmm. It's who I decided. It's when I created my Pico, I decided who I was going to be. And then I stood beside that thing. And then I started to attract people that met what it is that I'm looking for. And then it became, am I attracted to this person? Am I emotionally attracted to this person? Are we compatible, you know, personality-wise, chemistry, all of that stuff, intellectually, all of that stuff? Then that's really now the bread and butter of it. But as far as the type of person, oh my gosh, night and day.
I could see
and
that.
And that is, 100%. The moment you start to do that for yourself, you will see a dramatic difference. And the type of people that even think to come talk to you. You know, again, the reason why I did this workbook is because I want to be able to really impact and affect people's lives in the most positive, effective way. Right. And the only way that you're going to be able to feel the value of something is to really do the work on it. If you work hard for something and then you receive what it is that you worked for, there's it's the best feeling in the world. So really the reason why I created my company altogether and the Pico is because you need, that's your first brick. It's your first brick. It's not your end all be all. It's just your first brick to get things started, to get you thinking about yourself, thinking about the way you think about yourself and doing what's best for yourself. Because the moment you start to do what's best for yourself, you're going to be attracting others that are doing what's best for themselves. And then now you have two people who are authentically comfortable, worthy people that know who they are and know what they want. And they can sit across the table from each other and decide something. And there's no greater feeling than to meet somebody who is intentional. When you meet a man and a woman, or a woman that is intentional about their actions and what it is they're doing, they know what they want. And even if it happens to not be you, you could still appreciate that. Do you know what I'm saying? So the Pico, my whole company, how it works, it's all about bringing awareness to yourself so that you can get what you want.
Well, I want to thank you for being on the show, Nicole. It's always great talking to you. Thanks for being
here. Yeah, you too, babe. You too.
Thanks for joining me for the latest episode of Words with Michelle, the podcast. If you enjoy the podcast, I'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give a review on Apple Podcasts. Just a reminder, you can subscribe to the podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you have any questions or would like to provide feedback, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show, you can email me at michelle@wordswithmichelle.com. You can also email me if you have inquiries regarding sponsoring the show. Thanks for listening. Until next time, bye.